Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 357, stanzas 1 through 4. When Zion, in her low estate, was brought from bondage by the Lord, in ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. 1 through 4 of Psalter 357. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, he hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So far in the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Nellie Hoffman, the wife of Reverend Hoffman in Iowa, who received discouraging medical reports in the past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and faithful Lord of heaven and of earth, we may gather in this evening in thy providence, when thou still sparest us with our dear children, and we may come together for an hour in thy house in this night, to gather before thy countenance. And it behooves us, O Lord, to humble ourselves in thy sight, also considering that which we wish to commemorate in this day, in this evening hour, and that thou hast preserved thy truth, that thou hast brought thy wandering church back once again to thy testimonies, and that thou hast not suffered her to depart, so that we with our children would have no knowledge of thy truth. And Lord, who are we, that we are looked upon by thee, and that thou makest a distinction between us and so many others in this matter, whom thou sufferest to walk after their own ways in this world, to live out what lies in their hearts, but also what lies in our hearts, but that also in the way of thy truth, that thou makest a difference where there is no difference, and that others may be given to wander in error, even with thy name upon the lips, but that the doctrine of the churches that has strayed so far away from thy truth, Lord, wilt thou remember them, that thou would give that thy word may prevail according to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit in all those places where thy word may still be brought, where it may be read, that thou would show thy truth unto those that bring it in a way of hypocrisy, that they also may be truly converted, and that they may be drawn by thee to bring thy word in truth. But Lord, remember us too, because thou knowest our hearts and all that they contain. And oh, that we also may be kept by thee, and that we may be led into that truth, not only as it is delivered unto us to be learned in a natural way,
but that we may be given to experience it in our own soul in a personal way, each and every one of us with our dear children. For what shall we have to answer for in that great day of days? Wilt thou then keep us from going our own way, which is always a way of error? Our heart, thou sayest, is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. And it is not because of us, because of our diligence, because of our wisdom, because of our godliness, and that thou keepest and preservest us to this moment. But it is alone out of thy sovereign good pleasure and thy distinguishing grace. And Lord, then we need it also in a personal way, that we may be, each one of us, founded and grounded upon that only rock wherein we shall receive that stability that is necessary in that great day of days. And that we may not be deceived before thy countenance. Wilt thou then give each one of us to know what it is even that we have to die and that we have to appear before thee, and what it is to come before our Maker and our Creator, our Judge. Oh, that thou may give us to know it each personally, before that we have to die and meet thee. And Lord, that thou may look also upon our rising generation, that the truth that thou hast preserved for us, that it also may be a truth that they may come to love, to cherish, and that they also may be given to experience it in their own soul. Oh, there is none too old for thee, Lord, but there is also none too young. That thou may look then upon our rising generation, and that we also may be among that seed which is given unto thy dear Son, that we may serve thee for time and for eternity. Wilt thou look upon all those of thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Lord, may thou uphold those that are sent by thee, and that they may be encouraged also to bring thy truth against all that comes against it from the side of man. And when Satan does instigate many in a persecution of thy people and of and that only way wherein thou wilt save a wretched and an undone people, oh, that thou may then uphold when that is necessary that it be defended, Lord, from our side. And then we cannot, but wilt thou uphold us from thy own sight? And may thou give lovers of thy truth over the length and breadth of this world. Lord, wilt thou remember that church out of which we have been brought? When man does lift himself up on high, even unto thee thyself, to be as God, sitting in the temple of God, then, Lord, we have a reason to fear for him. Oh, could it please thee that thou would not smite with thy sword, but that thou may bring to true repentance. Oh, when thou would open the eyes, Lord, then it would be to the conversion and the salvation of so many people. Wilt thou remember all those, even in our land, but those also far away, that never hear that truth and therefore never may come to that knowledge of self and that knowledge of Thee to know the reality of their state before Thee and what is necessary that they may return to Thee. O Lord, that Thou may look upon us then as a fallen world, fallen in our father Adam, departed so far from that desire to magnify and to glorify Thy name, that Thou would look upon us in Thy mercy, and give that many may be brought again also among the beloved for the Father's sake, that Thou may bring them also from their error, and wilt Thou open unto them Thy holy word, that they may acknowledge Thy dear Son, that their hearts also may glory in Thee. Lord, so look upon us in mercy. Do remember all those that have special needs in our own congregation, but also those that are not of our congregation. And then, Lord, we lay before Thee in a special way the wife of Thy servant. Oh, may Thou remember her. For Thou knowest all the concerns and all the fears in that difficult way in which Thou dost lead her. Lord, may Thou supply and may Thou give solution to the need of her body, and may Thou visit her from above in her soul, and strengthen them together as husband and wife, and also in the work within the churches, that Thou may instruct even through these things, that Thy name in the end may receive all the honor and all the glory, in ways that go through the sea and through the waters. And wilt Thou look on all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that have special needs, as supply for our own congregation also, for children, parents, oh, give to us also a faithfulness and liberty and freedom in the instruction of our children, to bring across that which Thou hast given unto us and preserved among us and by way of our forefathers, and that Thou may bless the instruction of our own school where they may hear it also from day to day. Lord, be with us in this evening. Oh, that it may not be and that we are as hard as the benches and the pulpit by which we stand in this night, but that Thou may come with Thy Holy Spirit that was felt in the days of the Reformation, a Reformation that we stand in need of in our souls, in our hearts, but also in our lives. Oh, that Thou may give it by the working of Thy Holy Spirit when it may come from within, O Lord. Then it shall pervade our whole life. But when it shall have to come from without, then it shall be but precept upon precept. Lord, look upon us. Plant a love of Thee within. Give us a little freedom and liberty this night to bring Thy word in all of its purity, and that Thy Spirit may sanctify it for our conversion and edification. Forgive all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 128, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. And we will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. Although the mountains quake and earth's foundations shake, though angry billows roar and break against the shore, our mighty God will hear us. We remind the congregation that there is to be a time change this weekend. Psalter 128, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Congregation, it is Reformation Day. And it is proper that we set aside such a day, and that we may remember and that we may commemorate that great work of the Lord in preserving the doctrine of His holy word from that error in which it was found to be within and that Roman Catholic Church at that time. The importance of the Reformation cannot be overestimated. Why not? Because it has to do with very important matters. Where are they? That is, in the first place, the honor of the Lord that was at stake in that error. And in the second place, the salvation of the soul of man that was also at stake. Children, this is what we come to hear when we come in the house of God. Probably today, and then you have heard something in school about the history of the Reformation, or maybe in your own home, and how important it is, and that we are instructing our children also in the history of the church, and that they may know something of those works of the Lord. But that is not our place here in the house of God. And then it is our desire to speak about those works of the Lord themselves. Thus, we wish to consider something of the heart of that matter that was concerned in that reformation of the Church of God. And congregation, for ourselves, we have had to marvel through the special days that we have come through in these past weeks. And then also today, how that it seems that time and again, the Lord has laid this matter out before our eyes within that history of Abraham that we may consider together. And therefore, in this evening, we wish to consider that next portion that is lying before us out of Genesis 17. And there are verses 15 through 22. Genesis 17, verses 15 through 22, where we read of the church that is delivered from a false expectation. And first, we see that there is an unexpected announcement in verses 15 through 17. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? In our second thought, we see a fleshly cleaving in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And in our third thought, we see an unchangeable purpose In verses 19 through 22, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So far, the words of our text. The church delivered from a false expectation. First, an unexpected announcement. Second, a fleshly cleaving. And thirdly, an unchangeable purpose. "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife," who congregation thought any more about Sarai? Hagar indeed has become submissive, but in her heart, we see that later in the history, and then it seems that she still harbors a resentment against Sarai. How was that for Sarai herself? It is long ago already that Sarai has submitted, that Sarai has accepted, has resigned herself to that cross, and that she has to bear, that she says that it is from the Lord. "Behold," she says, "the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." That is a blessed place when we may receive our crosses out of the hand of the Lord, and when we may bow under them, then a person may receive a little rest, even as he must bear that cross in this world. How is it for Abraham? Well, we can understand that Abraham has been taken up now for 13 years already with his son Ishmael, and that he assumes that this is the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. And now we hear, as the Lord comes to Abraham, and as he is speaking to Abraham about that covenant that he will make with him and with his seed after him, when the Lord comes to give unto him a token of that covenant, even in his flesh, that he will confirm that covenant to Abraham, that suddenly we hear the name of Sarai. "As for Sarai, thy wife," then it may be that man has placed aside Sarai, but we read that the Lord did not forget Sarai. That the Lord knew of her, that the Lord remembered her. And congregation, what is now more important? That we have the favor, that we have the remembrance, that we have the thought, that we have the attention of a man in this world, or that we are remembered by the Lord? Thus we see it is not the true church which is placing themselves in the foreground, which is including themselves. No, that is the true church whom the Lord Himself will include. And that is a people who for themselves we can see they are by the Spirit of the Lord set for themselves on the outside of it. That is not necessarily congregation, a people who may receive the liberty and the freedom to attend unto that holy supper of the Lord. No, it may be that they have not that freedom, and yet that the Lord knows of who they are. That the Lord knows their place. And that is the reason also, and that attendance at the Holy Supper of the Lord is not for us as a consistory to be the mark that we may place a person on the list as an office bearer. No, it is not necessarily who includes himself, but it is those who are included by the Lord. As for Sarai, thy wife, is that now not such a great wonder? Then we see that it is eternity that is going to tell who the true people of the Lord are, who are known and who are remembered by Him, and when it is not always revealed in this life. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Thus we see how that the Lord is working in the life of His people by steps. That He is not revealing everything to His church in one day. So it was with the revelation of the coming Messiah to His church of all ages. We know, children, that already Adam may hear something of this before that the Lord sent him out of the garden. And then He had him standing there to hear something of what He spoke unto Satan, that He would send one that would bruise that head of Satan. And so we see then that there was not in that time so much revealed, but later a little more to the patriarchs, and step by step more is revealed unto the prophets and to His church until He came. Thus, it goes from little to more. It also goes from general to more and more specific concerning that Messiah. And so that was now also in that life of Abraham. The Lord had shown to him before already that he would receive a son. But now there is something else. Now the Lord shows to him that seed that was going to be through his wife Sarai. This is something new for Abraham. How does it go then with that experimental knowledge in the life of that true church of God? Then in the first place, congregation, that is a knowledge which is received in no other way but by revelation. And then we may think that we know, as Abraham also thought that he knew, but that church really knows nothing except what the Lord instructs them in. That is, in the knowledge of themselves, in the knowledge of God, of their judge, of their maker, and in the knowledge of his only begotten Son. Thus, in that experimental knowledge, it is not in gradual increasing as it is with our mental knowledge, with our intellect. Philpott writes how that the Lord is working by points, that is, step by step, that the Lord is showing his way unto his church, every time to instruct his church in another lesson, to instruct them each in that way of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, and sometimes also with a token, as it is here, because the Lord also changes that name of Sarai. As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Thus, Sarai also receives, even as Abraham, upon the declaration of the promise of the Lord, a ratification of that promise. The Lord adds to that name of Sarai a letter in the Hebrew tongue that is actually the same letter that the Lord has added to that name of Abraham. Thus, the Lord says to Abraham that he will be a father of many nations. Well, that name Sarai, that means my princess. And now the Lord declares to Sarai, and then it must be made evident, made manifest in every time that someone will address her, that the Lord makes her not the princess only of Abraham, but that he makes her the princess of a multitude. Thus, that multitude that the Lord said that he would give unto Abraham, boys and girls, a multitude as large as what? As the number of the stars in the heavens, so great that it cannot be counted, then that is not speaking about those children that came to Abraham by Hagar through Ishmael and by Keturah, no, but the Lord declares here that this will be the multitude of his church that is going to come through Sarah. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? What was, congregation, this laughter of Abraham? Was that the laughter of unbelief? No, it was not. How do we know this? Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 4, tells us that it was not so. He writes, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Thus, Abraham does not laugh here out of unbelief. Abraham laughs here out of astonishment. And that is that same laughter that is born in the heart of that church when the Lord will reveal his salvation unto them in this world. In the first place, because this revelation that comes, you understand that to Abraham in such a sudden manner that Abraham, as it were, cannot even grasp this news so immediately. Then Abraham is marveling. He says, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? He marvels. And not only so, but Abraham certainly did not expect this anymore. Abraham had long ceased desiring this. He had long ceased hoping for this. He had long ceased praying for this. That is a solemn thought. When does the Lord come to His church? We often say that. And we say that perhaps not always with the right weight, that the Lord is appearing unto His people when He has brought His people to an end. And now Abraham, he has long ceased praying. Our end, and when we think we are at an end, that is not necessarily the end to which the Lord will bring His church. But the Lord is even cutting off the very expectation of Abraham. And why? Because, congregation, when the Lord comes, then He will be experienced as a surprising God. It will be a wonder in the life of every one of those people. Thus, Abraham did not expect this anymore. It is possible that with Abraham, the church of God is building for a time upon a false hope. Abraham is here believing that Ishmael, he is the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. Oh, what a mistake that we are able to make in the application of that work and the doings of the Lord, that we apply it unto ourselves in a wrong way. Thus it is possible that we are also speaking concerning that way that the Lord has led us in our life, that we are speaking further than the Lord has actually led us. Because Abraham believes that promise that has already been fulfilled, but Abraham has not yet come there. Thus, it is possible that we make a mistake in that application, that we still stand before it. And to this congregation, we are especially prone when we may have come into that which Abraham has come into, when he has departed from that simple, childlike trust, and when he has put his own hand to the work, and then we are especially prone to making speculations and misinterpretations concerning that work of the Lord. But it goes even further. We see that in our second thought, a fleshly cleaving. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Boys and girls, Who is the fulfillment of the promise unto Abraham? You know the answer. You say that is Isaac. The Lord promised him a son, and the Lord gave him that son that was Isaac. Yes, you know that, and we know that. But Abraham did not know that. And therefore, for 13 years, Abraham has made such a mistake. Because of this mistake, Abraham has all this time not prayed for that true fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. He has ceased to ask for it. That is now a solemn thought. Because if that salvation of the Lord were dependent in any way upon that true church of God, then we see that it would be congregation lost forever. When that had to be dependent upon Abraham. Why? Because the church is so foolish. The Lord Himself, He must take care of every single aspect of the church, the salvation of His church. He must take care of the decreeing of that salvation. He must take care of the meriting of that salvation, and He must take care of the application of that salvation. Otherwise, the church will go lost. Is that not a wonder that it is a one-sided work of God? And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." By what name did we just hear that the Lord had revealed Himself unto Abraham? The Lord had said to Abraham, "I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the All-Sufficient One." What did we say that was? We said that was to him a rebuke for his sin. And it was also an encouragement. A rebuke. Why? Because he departed from that way of simple dependence of a child upon his father. But also an encouragement, because the Lord Himself, He is Almighty. The Lord Himself, He is able to make it right. He is able to bring it forth. Indeed, we must imagine that Abraham indeed needed such an encouragement. Why? Parents, how long does it take before our children begin to show their character? They cannot hide that very long. You see, that begins already when before they begin to crawl along on the earth. And now the Lord had revealed unto Hagar what the character of this Ishmael would be. What did He say to her? "He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him." Oh, how perplexed that Abraham must have been when he soon perceived that he had a wild and untamable son. And then it was his expectation that this was that promised seed. What a consolation that Abraham must have received in that moment when the Lord came to him and said to him, Abraham, I am El Shaddai, I am the Almighty God, I am the All-Sufficient One. And then what must be in that heart of Abraham, then the Lord? The Lord is able to tame this wild boy. And the Lord is able to, even though it's such a character, the Lord is able to bring him into submission. Oh, I cannot bring into submission. Then we say, what a wonder that the Lord, he reveals himself in such a condition to his church. How good that he is in the helplessness of his people to come to their aid and to give them comfort. Congregation, what foolish and ignorant people that we are. How often do we not say, now I know why the Lord has done this, has done that. Then we have the name of the Lord upon our lips, but we can be so wrong. And as soon as we think to know it, then we can be making a great mistake. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abraham, he is taken up with Ishmael. He is taken up with the son of his flesh. And Abraham loves this son dearly. You can understand that. And that he is holding on to this son as that child promised of the Lord. And even when the Lord comes, and when the Lord reveals to him his way, that Abraham has no desire that it should be any other way. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And what is the beginning of Ishmael? That is not, Ishmael is not the fruit of that pure and unadulterated submission and that faithful childlike dependence upon the Lord. No, Ishmael, he is the fruit of the work of man. He is the fruit of the ingenuity of man in bringing about the salvation of the church of God. He is the fruit of a man who believes that he has to help the Lord. Congregation, how is it in the life of that church? First, it is me. And when the Lord gives them some instruction, then it is me and the Lord. And when the Lord will teach them further, then it is the Lord and me. And what have they still to learn? That it is the Lord alone. And now every step that they have to descend in this instruction, that is a blow to their flesh. It is impossible to come down from their own sight. There is not a man in the whole world for whom it is different. We cannot and we will not crucify ourselves. Also when it comes to the salvation of our soul. And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." Even in the heart of the people, so much of self is mixed in with their religion. They do not truly desire the way of the Lord. If the Lord would say, congregation, to that people, that he would now agree to be a half savior, then with that people it would be fine. Why? Because then I don't need completely to die to myself. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. That is now the way of Rome. That was the way of Rome at the time of the Reformation. And that is a way that is not strange to the true church. No, Rome is lying in their heart. That is not a way that completely denies the fall. But what does it deny? It denies the depth of the fall. It denies how far that we have fallen. It says we are sick, but we are not dead. And it is a doctrine which with the lips does glorify God, but within the heart wants to be at least a half savior myself. That is in the instruction of that error that God infuses his righteousness into his people in order that they may now fulfill and be justified by their own righteousness. It is a justification that is based upon sanctification. That is, God part and me part. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And what does the Lord say of this? Our third thought, that is an unchangeable purpose. After we sing from Psalter 415, stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. In thy truth wilt thou me guide. Teach me, God of my salvation. All the day for thee I bide, Lord, with eager expectation. 2 and 4 of Psalter 415. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Children, your mother and father do not give you everything you desire. Why not? Say, because you desire it, that does not mean that it is the best for you and your parents. They know what is the best. That is so also with God's true people. The Lord cannot give them everything that they desire. And why not? Because they are so ignorant and they are so foolish, and because they do not know what is the best for themselves. And that is in a special way in spiritual matters. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. What does the Lord say? No, Abraham, I will not bow to your flesh. What includes one finger of the work of man that is not sufficient to satisfy the perfections of a holy God? I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another. Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. What does that mean? That means he laughs. Isaac, that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laughs. And to what is that referring? That is referring to the laughter of Abraham. And he is a picture of that true church of God. He laughs. Oh, we have heard that that is not a sinful laughter, but it is out of a holy joy. It is out of a holy wonderment. Why? Congregation, that matter is in that moment too great for Abraham to receive. When the Lord, he came to Abraham, then he spoke about Sarai, and this was for him something that was so great that to now receive that abundance, that overflowing goodness, mercy, graciousness of the Lord in that moment, that is too much for Abraham. That is the laughter, congregation, that true church will laugh to all eternity. That is a laughter that was born out of the painful instruction of the Holy Spirit in that life of Abraham. That is a laughter that has come from that step by step breaking down of the expectation in the life of Abraham until he was 99 years old. That is a laughter. That is a wonderment. That is arising out of an impossibility. Arising out of an impossibility that has been brought that man to such an end that for 13 years he has never desired and never prayed for this anymore from the Lord. That is a laughter that is arising out of that sudden, that unexpected coming of the Lord. When he is bringing everything from his own side in the life of that people. When in one moment he is bringing all the wisdom of that people and he makes it in one moment foolishness. That is a laughter when the Lord, he is working through with his own work so that his own name may receive all the honor and all the glory. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. He laughs. That was a laughter that was missing on that day that Ishmael was born. That was a laughter that was missing for 13 years when Abraham, he is indulging of that in that child of his flesh. Do you understand it, people of the Lord? The work of the hands of man does not bring the people to laugh with Abraham. And yet that laughter that is still reserved for them because of that one-sided work of God. That is a laughter that was missing at that time of the Reformation. That is a laughter that is missing in the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. Luther could not laugh. No, not as long as he lay under the tyranny of that beast. But the Lord delivered Luther from it, and then Luther, he may laugh with Abraham. Over that wonder of free and sovereign grace when he may be delivered of his great burden. Congregation, is that not a wonder then that we may commemorate such a day as we may in this day? But then we must ask ourselves whether we will laugh with Abraham and with Luther and with all of God's true people, or whether that truth that the Lord has preserved. In that free justification of man, all from that one side of God, will testify against us forever and forever to our eternal sorrow. Young people, maybe you laugh. Maybe you laugh sometimes. Maybe you laugh with your friends over sin, evil. And yet, dare to say that perhaps in your heart, as you are laughing, you feel a sorrow. Maybe that you are allowed by the Lord to go so far as even to laugh at that doctrine, that precious doctrine that we read in this holy word of God. Oh, may you become jealous of the laughter of God's church, that the Lord may make you sorrowful, that you may weep tears while you are here below. No, we don't desire your sorrow, but we desire that that truth that the Lord has preserved for us in that day of the Reformation, that that also may be experienced in your heart. And that already in this life, you may experience something of that laughter of Abraham. Ishmael, yes, Ishmael shall receive his portion. What is it? It is the portion of this world. Read it again when you come home. But a covenant. The covenant, the Lord says, I will establish with Isaac. Oh, young people, does he not then have the most blessed portion? People of the Lord, do you cleave? Do you cleave yet unto Ishmael, the son of the flesh? The Lord, when he works a wonder. He works a wonder that is so far above everything that we can ask, everything that we can think. That is, so that he may receive all the honor and all the glory. But God cannot truly be exalted unless and until you come on the outside of it. That is painful. Very painful. For our flesh. And when that way is long, the temptation is to put our own hand onto that work. But nothing of yourself is going to be included, except that you are going to be the object which is receiving it all. But my covenant, the Lord says, I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And that is the end. Then we read, and he left off talking with him, And God went up from Abraham. And he asked, people of the Lord, the last word. That is a wonder. The wonder of wonders in the life of the people. He is going to take care of everything. Despite all the ignorance. Despite all the foolishness of the church of God. And his promise to that church, to his people, that is unconditional. That is now that thing for which they are going to marvel. And they are going to laugh with that holy laughter, that holy wonderment, beginning here below, and then to all eternity. This thing they will say, this thing is from the Lord Almighty. It is a marvel in our eyes. Men cannot understand it rightly, nor fathom it in any wise. It shall be their song forever and forever. Will it also be ours? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is such a one-sided work wherein thou wilt put thy children, their work, their righteousness, and their strength, and their ingenuity all to the side. A people who shall wonder and marvel at that free and sovereign grace, O Lord, that we may not be strangers of it. As we travel to eternity, because that song that is begun in this life, and that people will not do a strange work forever, wilt thou remember them? And wilt thou remember all of us, that a desire, a true desire, may be born within. Bless thy word to that end in this night. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our homes. Bring us with desire to thy house upon thy day. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 87, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah, from his throne on high, looks down with clear and searching eye on all that dwell below. And he that fashioned heart and mind looks ever down on all mankind, the works of men to know. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 87.
Yeah.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.